Father, once again, we come to you today with thankful hearts. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, the privilege you've given us once again to come in you, to your house to meet together. Dear God, you know our needs, you know our hearts today. We're grateful for everyone that's here. Lord, may this be a time of learning, Lord, that we might apply what we learn to our lives and go out into a world, Lord, and be different, that they might see Christ in us. And Lord, we might be effective in the way you would have us to be. Dear God, bless your word today, Lord, as it goes forth. Bless all the teachers now that are teaching. Bless our Bible school on the hill. Lord, may all that's said and done, Lord, in this place today bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Job. Book of Job, chapter 5. We've been talking for the last few weeks on living in an imperfect world. Living in an imperfect world. We're faced today in this world with the impact of sin almost every hour of every day. If you get out, ride around, no matter where you go, what you do, you're faced with sin. And it's a big impact upon our lives. But God has given us this place to live in called the world, the earth, that we might somehow make a difference for Him. And it's our responsibility to do that, even though we're living in a world that is imperfect, it's sinful. And we've been talking about that for the last few weeks. Today we want to talk about something that we can apply maybe to our lives a little better. That is injustice, wrongdoing. Can you say that nobody ever did you wrong? Can you say that nobody has ever done you wrong? I think most of us can say somewhere in our life we've been done wrong, right? Somehow we've been done wrong. Well, injustice, we're going to look up that today and see what God has to say about this. In the book of Job, chapter number 5, look at verse number 7. Job 5, verse 7, say, yet man is born unto what? Trouble. Notice, as the sparks fly upward. Man is born unto trouble as sparks fly upward. We see here that injustice is going to come. We're going to look this morning at three things about injustice. First of all, the reality of it. The reality of injustice or wrongdoing. The reality of it. Number two, we're going to look at the roots of it. Where does it come from? The roots of injustice. And number three, we're going to look at the responding to injustice. How do we respond to wrongdoing in our lives? So first of all, we're going to look at the reality of injustice. Wrongdoing. This is a true story of a young man. His name is Jim McLaurin. He was a Yale University graduate. He graduated with high honors. Academically, he was very well. He played sports. He played football primarily. It was his big sport he played. He also was a great actor. He graduated with honors from Yale University. Shortly after he graduated, he was riding his motorcycle down the highway one night, and all of a sudden he met a 20-ton bus. The bus hit the motorcycle, knocked him off. The rescue squad came to pick him up, thought he was dead. Took him to the emergency room, and by the grace of God, they saved his life. However, he lost his left leg from his knee down. Being the great athlete that he was, he still had a heart to do something. So he took up riding bicycles. He rode bicycles for about 8 years. He won many races on bicycle racing. He was the world's greatest one-legged bicyclist. He accomplished much during that time. One day in Los Angeles, California, he was in a race on a bicycle. And for some reason, a van got on the street where they were racing. He hit Jim, knocked him off his bicycles, knocked him against a post, paralyzed him, and now here he is, confined in a wheelchair, in tremendous pain. Can't do anything. He's just in pain all the time. Well, because of the accident, Jim got $3.8 million for the accident. In constant pain, he decided he was going to move to Hawaii. He moved to Hawaii, and while he was there, because of his pain and all he was going through, he got hooked on other drugs, such as cocaine. One night, he was setting out in his wheelchair. Of course, he was confined to that. He was setting out, and he looked up into the sky and saw the stars, and he yelled from his voice, and he said, "Why are you doing this to me?" Talking to God. He said that because Jim was fed up with injustice. Injustice. Things that had happened in his life that he didn't understand why. You know, there are people in the world today, they're in the same situation. There are things happening in their lives they don't understand. And they're almost to the point that they're fed up with life. Fed up with life. The reality of injustice, wrongdoing, it comes to all of us, folks. It doesn't matter how rich, how poor, how young, how old. We all have to deal with this thing of injustice. The reality is there. We look in history. We see in the Bible, Joseph was treated unjustly by his brothers, wasn't he? Daniel, he was treated unjustly by those who opposed him. We know that he was thrown into a den of lions. David was treated unjustly by Saul. History tells us the reality of injustice. Injustice. We see that Herod, he was unjustly by killing all the male babies. That wasn't right what he did. It was wrong. We also see that slavery itself was unjust. It was unjust. Injustice is a reality. We see even our homes, we see Jacob and Rachel in their homes, we see injustice with their sons as they rear those sons. So we see, first of all, the reality of injustice, wrongdoing. Number two, let's look at the roots of injustice. What causes injustice? The roots of it. Where does it come from? There are two areas that injustice comes from. Number one, we see there's always reasons that people behave unjustly. There are reasons why people do wrong in their lives. All these killings we're hearing about, all these things in the news that we're hearing is bad, there's a reason why they do that. There's a reason why they do that. Injustice, the root of injustice. We see the first thing is, the root is unfairness. Have you ever said, or have you ever heard someone say, life is unfair? We hear it a lot, don't we? Sometimes we may even say it ourselves. Injustice, the root of injustice. Life is unfair. Unfairness in our lives. We see this. Jacob was unfair in the way he treated his sons, wasn't he? He was unfair. He showed favoritism to Joseph. Someone may say the circumstances of her life are to blame. Have you ever heard someone say, well, she does that because she was raised such and such a way? I'm not saying that being raised such a way doesn't have an impact upon our behavior. I'm not saying that at all. But on the other hand, we must remember that the sins of others does not excuse us in the eyes of God. We all are accountable to God for our own sins. I can't blame my mama, my daddy, my brother, my sister that I'm the way I am. I'm the way I am because I have a sinful nature, just like they had a sinful nature. We all are born with that. So see, the first root of injustice is unfairness. Unfairness. Another root is unawareness. 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 Being unaware. We're unaware, first of all, that God is in control of everything. We're unaware of the fact that God is in control of everything, no matter what happens in our life. I've said this many times, and I can say it easy, but it's hard sometimes to accept. Whatever happens in my life is for my good, and it's for God's glory. It's for God's glory. I don't care. what it is, injustice, wrongdoing, somebody does me wrong, it's for my good. And I have to accept it that way. I must accept that. God is trying to teach me something. God's trying to show me something. It's not that I want to get back to somebody. That's not the purpose of it happening to me. Because God has allowed it. Because God has allowed it, you see, in my life. God doesn't allow anything in our lives that will not benefit us. I believe that with all my heart. We may not like it when it happens. It may not be good, not taste good and all that, but it's still for our good. Unawareness. God can use even the unjust and unfair things for our good in our life. If we will allow Him to. If we will allow Him to. See? We also see that God uses the wrath of men to praise Him. In Psalm 76, verse number 10, the psalmist says, "Surely the wrath of men shall praise thee." Surely the wrath of men shall praise thee. Psalm 76 and verse number 10. So we see the reality of injustice, the result, the roots of injustice. Number one is unfairness. Number two is unawareness. The roots of injustice, wrongdoings. Why do people do wrong? Unfair. Unfairness in life and unawareness. Unawareness. Each of us, as Christians especially, need to understand some things. First of all, no one can keep you, no one can keep me from doing the will of God. No one. Are you with me today? Amen? No one can keep you or keep me from doing the will of God. No individual can do that. No one. We need to understand that. Whatever God's will is. No one can keep you from enjoying the blessings of God. No person, no one can keep you from enjoying the blessings of God in your life that He sends your way. No one. However, when injustice comes into my life and it comes into your life, wrongdoing comes into our life, our response to that determines the effect it will have on our life. Our response to the injustice, not the injustice itself, but how we respond to that injustice, that wrongdoing, determines how it's going to affect our life. So we see the roots to injustice, unfairness, unawareness. Responding to things is the key, how we respond. You know, never react. Never react. Wait, pray, and then act. Wait, pray, and then act in every situation. When we react, 9 times out of 10, it's going to be the wrong thing we do. It's going to be the wrong thing we do in our life. So we see when injustice comes, we need to be careful. Now, how do we respond? How can we respond to wrongdoings? All of us have been done wrong. How did you respond? How did I respond? That's a big key in our life as a Christian. We need to be careful how we respond with things that come to our life. First of all, we can personally, we can respond. I want to get even with you. You know? You ever done that? Come on, let's be honest. All of us have. I'm going to get even with you. A personal response when somebody does us wrong. We can do that. We can do that. But we need to wait and see what has happened to us. What's happened to us? Let God show us what's happened to us. See, instead of seeing what God can use, what's happened to us, we personally respond in the way of getting back or getting even. Getting even. So we see the first responding to injustice is a personal response. A personal response. Number two, it's a biblical response or a principle response. Responding according to the Bible. What does the Bible say about injustice? Instead of responding personally, we can act according to the principles that we find in God's Word. You know, sometimes God's Word is quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. Sometimes the Bible don't say to me what I want it to say. Does it do you? It's not what I wanted to hear. But when we look at the Bible, we're talking about wrongdoings and what takes place sometimes in our life, we need to apply the principles of God's Word to our answer in responding to injustice. Now, I want you to turn to a very familiar verse in the Bible. That's Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We're talking about responding to injustice or wrongdoings. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. I'm going to read this verse, then I want you to read it out loud with me. Romans 8, 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now read it with me, please, out loud. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. What do we see here? First of all, not everything that happens to me is going to be good. Okay? Not everything that happens to me or you is going to be good. It's not always going to be good. We would like for it to be, but it won't always be good. Secondly, we see here, God is not working in me and in you for whatever happens to us to make us happy. Did you get that? Whatever happens to me, whatever happens to you, is not God's final purpose to make us happy in our lives. His final reason for doing what he does to us, allows in our life, is to fulfill his purpose. Look what it says in verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his what? His purpose. So we see when we apply biblical principles to wrongdoing, what do we see here? All things that happen to me are for my good. All things. He's not talking about just the good things, but all things that come into my life are for my good. They don't come into my life to make me happy. Okay? That's not his purpose. His purpose is to fulfill his purpose in my life. What is his purpose for my life? That I might look to him, I might trust him for my life and everything that I need in my life. See, God is trying to mold me. See, he's the potter and we're the what? Clay. He's trying to mold us into someone that will bring honor to him. Someone that would help other people know Christ as we know Christ. And so this is enlightening to me to know, you know, when we look at the principles of God's Word, we can understand maybe better why injustice comes. See, it's not to hurt us, it's to help us and to mature us and help us to be what God wants us to be when things come into our lives that seemingly and does hurt us. We all been slapped down. We all been hurt and all that. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians. When we look at the Word of God and we allow the Word of God to help us in trying to understand situations in our lives, sometimes it's not easy, but we know this is what we ought to do. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. All things. When injustice comes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, very familiar verse, 18. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. In everything, give what? Give thanks. Does it say in some things, the good things? No. It says what? In everything, give thanks. The good, the bad, the ugly, whatever it is. In everything, give thanks. Give thanks. Notice, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you? Say with me. In everything, give what? Thanks. In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you and concerning me in my life. So we see, when it's just, in responding to injustice, we're not to get back. We are to apply a biblical principle to our actions. Our actions, what we do. See? And when we do that, we're going to find a rewarding. Not only to us, but to other people also. To other people also. Now, I want to give you some guidelines, and myself some guidelines in responding to injustice. We're going to look in, we won't finish it today, but Genesis chapter 39. Turn back there to Genesis chapter 39. We're going to look at the life of Joseph. You know, you try to look at some, there's so many characters in the Bible that we can learn so much from. But the life of Joseph is a remarkable life of a young man, and how God used him, how God led him. God took him different places and taught him things that you and I need to know. Guidelines we're looking at for a proper response to injustice. Guidelines to proper response to injustice. We see it even in the life of Joseph. In Genesis chapter 39, we'll begin reading with verse number 1. Maybe we'll get the first guideline in. We'll finish them up next week. But in Genesis chapter 39, look at verse number 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him in the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. We know the story, how the brothers, the hatred was there, and all the things took place, and they sold him. They put him in a pit, and then this Ishmaelite says, come along, and they sold him. And now we find out Joseph winds up in Egypt at Potiphar's house, an officer of Pharaoh. And verse number 2, and the Lord was with Joseph. I like that, don't you? No matter where Joseph was, God was still with him. And that's something we need to understand too, Christians. No matter where we are in life, God is with us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. In the storms, in the sunshine, in the blessings, in the things that are not good, God is still with us. He says, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from that time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessings of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass that after these things, that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee. I like that. Because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Notice here, in making a choice here, we see here guidelines in the midst of wrongdoing or injustice. First of all, Joseph was faced with a choice. Joseph was in a high place. He had access to anything the guy here had. He could get anything he wanted. But he knew better. He knew. I like what he says. His master had given him everything that he wanted, but his wife. And he knew and he recognized that his wife was his wife. And he was not to even touch her. He was not to even touch her. He was a wise man. He was a wise man. He said, Joseph was faced with a choice. Now, Joseph could have done wrong. He could have done wrong. He could have continued the cycle of injustice that his brothers had done to him. He could have done that. But we see, he would break it down by doing what's right, though. He was going to break it down by doing what's right. He's going to stop this thing of injustice. See, would he respond personally himself, or would he respond according to the principles of the Bible, the word that he'd been taught? This is what we see in Joseph's life here, you see. Sometimes we think we have to prove something, don't we? We have something to prove. But instead of having something to prove, we have someone we need to please. That's our Savior, Jesus Christ. We need to please Him in our life. Not try to impress somebody or prove something. We need to please our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see here these guidelines to response to injustice. First of all, we need to recognize our responsibility. That's what Joseph did. Joseph was a responsible young man. Very responsible young man. All that he's been through, all he's been taught in his life coming up, and even to where he is now in Potiphar's house, he recognized right from wrong, and he recognized his personal responsibility between him and God. Between him and God. And that's the biggest step in life, to being able to conquer and being able to respond to injustice when we're faced with it in our life daily, it seems like. So first of all, we need to recognize our responsibility. Also, we need to refuse to retaliate. Look at verse number 10. Verse number 10, we see Joseph. As Genesis 39, verse number 10, and it came to pass as she spoke to Joseph, notice, day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about the time, and it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. Don't you think she planned this? You better believe she did. And she called him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, then she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, see, he hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. Man, the lies you're speaking about. And it came to pass, when he heard that, I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garments by her until his Lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the word of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner, Did thy servant to me, that he said, and his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. We see here what's taking place here. As we see Joseph has been caught, the lady thinks anyway. But nevertheless, through all this accusation that the lady did to Joseph, Joseph did not retaliate. He did not say one thing. Joseph here is remembering, you don't have to make things worse work out. God will. You don't have to make things work out when they're bad. God will. He always has. He always will. You see, it's not my job. Whenever I'm in this thing of wrongdoing, I'm calling it wrongdoings, or I've been done wrong, it's not up to me to solve the problem. God will. God will if you let Him. If you let Him, you see. We step in sometimes and we want to do it, and that's when we mess up. That's when we fall with the ball. Let God do it. Let God do it, you see, here. There are times when it's right to take action to protect our lives and others. There are times for that. There are times when it's right to answer an accusation. But there's never a time, no matter what you're accused of, what's happened to you, been wrong done to you, there's never a time for you or for me to get even. Never. Never a time to get even. That's God's business. That's God's business. I, as a Christian, you as a Christian, it's not up to us to get even to what's happened to us. We're to leave it to God. We're not to retaliate. Refuse to retaliate. Recognize our responsibility when wrongdoing comes our way. And we'll see that it all will all work out. We also need to remember God's sovereignty. God is on the throne. In chapter 39, look at verse number 21. Verse number 21, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him what? Mercy, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Here is Joseph, been accused of having sex with Potiphar's wife. They put him in prison. What is Joseph doing? He's not retaliating. He's not saying why. Joseph is just saying to God, God, what's now? What do I do now? What do I do now? And we see that the prisoners, they all loved him in prison, even though he was there for a long time. We don't know how long he was there. But we understand that God in his providence, because Joseph could interpret dreams, they got him out. They got him out a little later on. And we see this is how God works things out, you see. Joseph, as surely as God's overseer, all the good things that happened to Joseph, we see he also oversaw the injustice too that had been done in Joseph's life. All the wrongdoings that was there. God has a way of making bad things turn out good. Only God can do that, folks. But God can do that. He can make bad things come out to be good in our life. I've seen it more times than one in my own life. We must understand that is God has permitted those things to happen to Joseph at this time. God has permitted things to happen to you at this time in your life. He has permitted that. It's not anything that you've done. And God is in control even if we do not see what He's doing. He's in control when we don't even see what He's doing. So we see we need to recognize God's sovereignty. And then we need to rely on God's faithfulness. In verse 22 and verse 23, we see here, and the keeper of the prison, and the keeper of the prison, my eyes are watering, committed to Joseph, and the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. In other words, he was more or less in charge of the prisoners at this time. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. In other words, the prisoner keeper, he didn't worry about the prisoners. When they're in Joseph's hand, they're going to be okay. They're going to be okay. We see here, God was faithful here. Rely on God's faithfulness. We don't have to fight back, folks, when we've been done wrong. We don't have to fight back. What can we learn from this? God works through trials and troubles to draw us closer to Him, folks. That's His purpose. He wants us to be drawn closer to Him. We see here, what matters is not so much the events or circumstances of life that you face, but what matters the most is how you respond. How you respond to these things in your life. We see here, with God's help, any situation can be used for good even when others mean it for evil. Even when other people mean it for evil in your life, God is in control. We see here, respond, recognize our responsibilities. We need to refuse to retaliate. We need to remember that God is in control. He's sovereign. And also, we need to rely on God's faithfulness in our lives. And when we do, when injustice comes into our life, we're going to come out victorious. We're going to come out victorious. And God is going to make us, continue to make us what He wants us to be. I don't know about you. I want to be what God wants me to be. And I know sometimes things come into our lives and we don't understand and we question. And we say, how in the world? We're like Jim was. Why did you let this into my life? When we're at the point that we can't take it no more, so to speak. But just remember, God's faithful, folks. God is faithful. He will make a way for you to escape no matter what temptation that you're going through, what you're facing in your life. He's promised to do that. There has no temptation taken you but such as what? Common to man. Common to man. Somebody else has already been there. Somebody else has already been through that with God's help. But God will make a way to escape that you may bear it. That you may bear it. Injustice comes, folks, in our life. But there's a way out. I'm so glad that God's with us, don't you? I'm so glad that in this life we're not alone. God is with us to help us in every situation that we face in our life. And we're on the winning side. Praise God, the best is yet to come for us to know the Lord. And I know one day we're going to all be in heaven, and what a glad day that's going to be. When we respond according to God's word, we do two things. Number one, we break the cycle of injustice. We break the cycle of wrongdoing. We break it. And then what happens is this. We unlock the flow of the blessings of God in our lives. We unlock the flow of blessings of God in our lives when we do this. May the Lord help us. He will. May we see that God will help us. He's going to give us victory day by day. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today, Lord, for loving us. We thank you, Lord, that we, no matter what we face in this world in which we live, Lord, that you're with us, you're going to help us. God, when we look at Joseph and his life, and Lord, all that he went through, the things that were done to him that were not right, oh God, what a servant he was, what a child of God he was. And God, help us to see his life and look at his life, even this week, maybe read it and study it more, that you might impart to us, Lord, how no matter what we face in our life, Lord, you're in control. And God, all things do work together for good that them that love you, that we might be exactly in your will, and we might fulfill the purpose for you in our life. God, help us. God, bless your people this week. I pray you give them a good week in the Lord. God, help us, Lord, to be effective in some way by passing out a tract or talking to somebody about Jesus. There's so many people today that are hurting. And Lord, I just pray you'd help us to be that encourager this week. Thank you, everyone's here now. That's the service we're about to go into. Lord, may you have your will and way in all this done. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.